Yo, it's on.
Okay, let's start from the beginning.
Thirty-five years ago, one of my all-time favorite movies came out, and I am so glad that the Pie Guys got together to not just talk about this, but to talk about it while we watched it, and then to get together and watch it again in the theaters and talk about it right after. This is something that we experimented with when we returned to the Deep Weeds, so this is just another example of how in Season 3, things come full circle, just like a pizza. But before we dig in, how about you subscribe to the podcast, and if you really like what you're listening to, why not give us a review? Now, grab a slice or four and enjoy.
You make this rather snappy, won't you? I have some very heavy thinking to do before 10 o'clock.
Welcome aboard, everyone. We're watching Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. We're opening with a shot of the Twin Towers. Man, what year is this made?
1990?
Look at the streets. Not a cell phone in fucking sight, man.
There she is.
April O'Neil's first appearance here. Sports Illustrated. What else is on there? Is that a picture of George Bush?
OJ, there's Oprah.
There is Oprah in the background. Oh.
Pickpocketing.
Oh, shit.
Oh, that's right. There's like this elaborate.
Remember? Is it coming back?
Because 20 people are involved to steal one wallet. I don't know.
It's what, like $10?
Is that a Sid Vicious shirt?
It is.
Okay. Thank you, Danny. This shot was cool. I remember this.
Ninja.
Whoa.
Dude, they did that fast.
That's
like
right.
A camera trick.
Only a ninja could move so fast.
You gotta remove these belts.
This is my favorite one.
Yeah.
How faded the TV was.
Come on.
Even in 1990, people lived on their fire escape. There's our boy. There's Danny again. I remember being a kid watching this in the theaters, knowing, like, this kid's bad. Like, whoa, this movie feels dark already. And it felt kind of like, should I be in here? Is this appropriate? My mom's voice goes through my head.
Remember all their hangouts always look so cool with, like, neon lighting and stand-up video games. Look at the old Whopper box.
Whopper box and a boom box, man. I agree. The neon lighting in the arcade kind of set it off.
No, but I have to echo what you're saying, because it feels kind of adult. Like, this doesn't feel like a kid's story right now.
And I
never got to see it in the movie theater, but so when I even when I saw it in VHS at this point, knowing it was the Ninja Turtles, this felt kind of heavy. Nice little homage to the classic April look with the yellow jacket here. They were distinctly doing a different style of Ninja Turtle story, right? This is not the cartoon show.
No, it's not, and they're showing a lot of her leg.
Look at Sam Rockwell.
Is that who it is?
Yes.
Oh, is it really?
Sam Rockwell.
No, it's
yes, dude. Yes, it's young Sam Rockwell. He's like a side character. Oh, they're getting their asses handed to them.
Dude, the VO sold it. They nailed the voices. They weren't the same from the cartoons.
No.
And that was a big deal. Because the cartoons were iconic voices as well. They had Corey Feldman as Donnie, right?
Yeah. Yes.
I didn't understand when I was a kid why people were like, it's Corey Feldman. I was like, what? He's in the suit? Like, I didn't comprehend the fact it was just his voice and someone different in the suit.
It's a well-known fun fact that all of the guys who are in the suits also have a scene in the movie where they are themselves. So they made sure that they also got screen time. You know what I mean?
I love that.
It's a nice touch.
Here we go, guys. Golden Harvest presents.
This will always make me feel good, this song.
When I had my dream mansion and my arcade is finally finished in the wing of my house, this song is going to be the first song I play in it.
What an image. You know what you're looking at.
Here come the heroes.
That's
iconic. And they kept the logo, of course.
That's iconic. They look fucking great,
right?
They
look great.
And I'm not CGI.
This looks so much better than any CG could ever look.
It's practical and it looks great and it still holds up.
It's real. When I'm watching this the first time, I'm not staring at their necks, you know what I mean, where the mask and that stuff comes up. I'm watching at how awesome these guys look and how their lips are pursing together to make these pee and other sounds.
Right, the mouth isn't just opening.
I've talked to people at conventions, and they've said that the heads on this thing were a nightmare. They just malfunctioned the entire time, similar to kind of like the dinosaur show on ABC or whatever. It was a nightmare working these heads, you know, but they got it done so right. Mm-hmm. And I know there's a scene later, too, when like you see his eyes and his mouth, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, at one point there's a shot of that.
Where he's like, yes, he's like jizzing and you can look into the mouth. But they crushed it with all these representations, right? It wasn't just the turtles. Like, Splinter looked cool. He didn't look too creepy. The voice was good.
The voice was good.
Casey Jones looks cool. Shredder is fucking badass in this. Without being over the top.
Shredder's completely badass in this. Yeah.
He like kicks their ass.
Yeah, he beats the shit out of them.
Yes.
He cuts them, which is like, oh. He like actually cut
four
them.
On one. Yeah. And he straight up says like, "You guys are eventually overwhelm me, but like, I'm gonna kill one of you at least."
In modern day, this is CG Splinter. You know what I mean? Whose hair is like floating like he's underwater as we're talking to him now, and we're already feeling like we're watching a cartoon that's trying to be real, right? Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's we're not yet in this.
Yeah, I want to say that one's a rod, and they're doing it like this because they did a lot of them that looked super complex, but they were way easier to handle. Like they had changed the game on puppeteering, Jim Henson, and creating this form of puppeteering. Because when they did dinosaurs is what started off with being able to put your hand into a glove and moving your hand like this, and it moves straight along with their mouths. So it's really a performance by the puppeteer,
100%,
but with the actual in-person actor.
That line used to kill me as a kid. The clock's ticking, dude. Just because it made the turtles laugh. So as a kid, I was like, that's the funniest.
Yes.
And you look back and you're like, that's not even that funny.
As a kid, you don't give a shit what Splinter's saying right here, too. You're like, give me some pizza. So they acknowledge like the kids are getting antsy in the theater.
Every
you know?
5 minutes, this movie gives you a nostalgia drip that connects straight to the source, you know? So they're already showing they're not going to take themselves too seriously, but they will take themselves seriously. This is not one of those moments.
Ninjutsu, acknowledging it's a child's realm as well. We're not saying they don't say tequila.
Are they not Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
Yeah. Except for this gangster who's...
dude, he's your teenager that's legit pissed.
He's like 17. Yeah.
Yeah, man. He's the oldest one, I feel like, out of all of them. And he's got...
Okay. I like that.
Anger.
I like that.
I genuinely think these guys are showcasing like the best part of being a teenager, which is just no worries and just having fun.
Skateboarding in sewer tubes.
I dreamed of that. Yeah, every kid dreamed of doing that.
This is a pretty iconic scene here, would you not say?
Pizza guy's got... Yeah, absolutely.
God, the puppetry is so good. The Henson stuff. His eyes. So good. You know what I mean? His eyes.
They're the best. They pioneered it all, dude.
It's all in a controller looks like it would control an RC car.
That scene we probably watched... Probably took, 4 days probably to film?
Oh, dude.
You know what I mean? Like, honestly.
This guy's one of the Ninja Turtles.
Really?
Yeah, he's
he's one of the guys in the suit.
I want to see he's Raphael.
Really?
The guy that does both.
Yeah, they all get a scene like this.
Dominoes.
Do you remember they had a promotional like thing with Domino's too? Forgiveness is divine.
Oh no, dude, that was Michelangelo.
It makes sense. The pizza guy is the guy that loves
Mikey's
pizza.
Mikey's the pizza guy, yeah.
Well, he was the guy in the suit.
That's what I'm saying. Okay. So he's also the delivery.
Yeah, so he's delivering a pizza to himself.
Right.
Critters in the background there.
Good one.
Got a Critters.
Where do they
That's
come
what
up
Raphael
with
Raphael just watched. And here he crosses paths with Casey Jones, and they nailed it with Casey Jones. Hey, isn't that Ferris? Isn't that Happy Gilmore's grandma?
No. That's
it's
just an old lady.
Grandma.
No, it's not.
I love how it's like he's mimicking, like he showed up a strap. It's a sigh. It's like, yeah. Not the fact that he's a green mutant, but I have this dagger right here. Here's my guy.
Good thing he didn't blow his knees out dropping down like that.
Ilias Koteas. He lives out here in Santa Clarita.
Now, if you watch this subtitled in Japanese, they translate Jose Canseco like Hosei Canseco, like it's somebody's Japanese name. Jose Canseco, it says. So he's got two like little bats there.
A cigarette.
I hate punkers and freaks. He's like disgusted by him.
Yeah, I mean, what's he supposed to think this guy is?
Did you ever have a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles mask, Josh, or like
no,
or a bandana?
And here's another dimension too is when we grew up, there was no. I knew the turtles were on VHS and stuff, but in my neighborhood, none of the kids had it. We didn't have the VHS tapes, so I didn't know who Casey Jones was only from like pictures. I never really saw episodes with Casey Jones in it.
Dude, Casey kind of wins this fight. Okay, this guy here, that guy is one of the turtles as well.
In the back?
He's one of the voices.
Okay.
It's the voice of Raphael, Josh Pius. Kevin Clash is the voice of Splinter. Jim Henson right there, baby. That's the voice of Elmo right now doing the voice of Splinter.
Oh, did not know that.
This is a Jim Henson true legend.
Yeah.
Kevin Clash.
Kevin Clash. Okay.
Kevin Clash does the voice of Elmo, voice of Ralph the Dog for a little bit. He's done a ton of stuff, dude. I think Ralph the Dog, maybe.
There's such subtleties in that camera shot, too, of how they really like...
That's all one shot.
Yeah,
dude.
How they all went around his face and how they made a puppet look like he's earnestly listening. They nailed the eye contact too, how it looks like he's looking at him, both characters.
That's only achieved, I think, because it is practical.
Yes.
And it actually exists right there.
Those things, man, how old are those things?
Those comic books, Jesus.
He sticks his head in those things, those comic
books. Look at that Walkman.
I assume he was talking about the Walkman. Did you think it was a comic book, Danny?
At least the bitch can flip pages.
I think he's talking about the Walkman. I mean, look at that.
Oh, he's going to steal his dad's money.
Yeah.
No, it's April's.
That is April's money.
That is April's money?
Yeah.
Danny doesn't give a fuck. He's wearing the same shirt he did yesterday, guys.
That's true.
I've been there. I think I'm there right now. There's
classic
the
actor.
There's the chief. He kind of looks like a cartoon, though, doesn't he?
Yeah. He's perfect. Just like how Homeboy is like in Batman Commissioner Gordon. Yeah, perfect. He looks just like a Commissioner Gordon.
Right. I've never seen it on this high of a definition, though.
Miss O'Neill, you've seen all the sweat pores?
All the sweat pores.
It's Corey Feldman, right?
And since when are live TV interviews double shots like this? I love how their TV is broken, too.
Oh, here we go. How many fucking screens is that?
I mean, the guy's running a world, citywide criminal
underground
network.
Underground criminal world.
When he's openly robbing everyone on the street, handing children drugs and cigarettes, and is worried about a reporter who just was mugged by his own gang the night before.
It's a slow Tuesday.
Danny got caught.
This lady's got to go down. Can we bring that back? Why are you busting my chops? Nobody says that anymore.
Well, I feel like this story was for the parents, and it makes the movie more gritty. You know what I mean? April's performance, at least, is extremely grounded, you know?
Right. They're not
He's
trying
clearly
to
a cartoon character
answer.
There, and she's keeping it extremely, you know what I mean?
Right. She's playing it for the seriousness of it.
1:55, a new record.
A new record. Look at him. He's just out there. He's really testing it, you know? How many hours can I be outside? It was dark last time we saw him, and now, you know, it's daytime. So he spent all night out there in his trench coat, out in the streets of New York, potentially exposing himself, right? Not very ninja-like, not very way of the ninja.
And no, Raph makes mistakes.
She's about to learn a lesson, but this is where you realize it's fate. It's meant to be, right?
Oh, we're going to hear the din-din-din.
Look at the guitar riff.
Oh, they have a message for her.
Sony payments.
Wow, okay, April, that joke fell flat.
Look at a present.
Oh.
Oh, shit. Holy fuck.
Well, that one didn't go well.
She said, here, kick it out of my hand.
I kind
of
like this part, how she was like, fuck
dude,
it.
She
just started
down.
Throwing down and just got, you know what I mean?
You hear that coming around the corner?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So those things can move, too. They've proven that they don't just look good.
So he threw like two punches, four kicks, and beat up eight guys somehow.
Oh, no, I think he pretty much killed two of the guys that he connected.
Each
with his
hit
fist.
Was two
well, no,
kills the same
three of them are up right now.
Three of them are good.
I was going to say, two of those guys should be dead without
it. It was just like a group takedown, move, you know? I love that even that setting, the lighting, the way it all looks. Like, this is so indicative of the times.
But that's all.
Well, it's not overdone today. I feel like this scene, he'd have to be crawling in some 600-foot labyrinth of a cavern with, you know what I mean?
But he'd have to be doing it on like a razor scooter.
Right. He'd be doing loop-de-loops on a
Or he's a ninja and he could just run forever.
Escaping
or
through.
Or he's got rollerblades.
Exactly, it'd be too much.
It just feels like, you know, filmmaking. Like using what you have, using the practical effects, using camera tricks. Not exactly sneaky on Raph's part.
No, and I remember feeling dread, like you got caught, like they know where you are.
He even tried to not get caught and check his back, and still.
Her reactions are good, you know what I mean? Like,
I still like other April.
You like the other one you said?
Yeah, the only thing she does to me is
just holding a pillow in the background there. He's just kind of grabbing it like...
He's stressing out now. She thinks she's tripping. You would think you're tripping too, right?
It talks. Let's get the backstory. Here it comes. Look at these shots. I forgot about these. These are like littler puppets.
These are wire puppets, dude.
With real turtles here.
Yeah.
All the best ones in the know.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's the best line. This is still dark as all hell. Like,
yeah, it's very dark. I don't know if it's because... It makes me feel like the shots were bad and that when they hit it like this, it looked better. And it almost added to the noir kind of
grit. Like I said, they're using like wires and stuff to move their arms and their heads and everything.
Interesting. That's why it's all dark, I see.
And it looks better.
I name them after Renaissance painters. There's a lot of inner New York jokes in here, too, that are only... You know what I mean? Only in New York would know.
There's an antique store.
I feel like New York looked like this for real. Like, that's why I was scared of it as a kid.
Scared of it.
Of going to New York.
Like it's going to beat you up.
You know, there's a bat that just flew by.
So you live in an antique store?
Nobody knows who fucking
Cagney and Lacey.
She's laughing her ass off.
You dirty man.
Is she high right now? Do you think she got
beat?
Killed my brother.
Yeah, if this is today, she's like, let's have a joint. But even in those shots we saw in the beginning, no cell phones. And that's something they don't have to address in this movie is cell phones. phones. They don't have to explain how they're not seen because cell phones don't exist. Or the internet.
The only news source that they have is their friends with.
Right. Like the actual news, like the reporter.
Yeah. And she didn't have a phone. They had to take her someplace. It wasn't like, yeah, just GPS your way home and call an Uber. Yeah. They're like, no, we actually have to take you there.
Take you back to your
home. Yeah, we'll take you back to your home.
But the sewers would be the best way to go, right?
But in that time, unfortunately, in that time, Turtles, Master Splinter was taken.
Crazy Evil Dead camera.
Yeah, when it's zooming out and in at the same time.
Like, it started when Raph first fought those dudes in the subway. It looks sick.
Something that this one has that the other ones didn't, that come after this, you see them use their weapons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the other films, they always, they like, they had to come up with weird ways to get around them actually using their weapons on guys, but not in this movie. This one will always have a more, like, more weight to it. I don't know if that's the best way to put it, but...
And now the mob boss of this guy comes out. Got a son named Danny Charles? Because he's been stealing cigarettes.
How loud did those motherfuckers snore?
Is Raph just sleeping on, like, a suitcase in the background?
Yeah, homeboy was sleeping on top of a panda bear.
Like, how fast they are, though. That's the role I'd be cast in now, is Charles.
Like, they did the same bit in the second one, but this is how Kino found out about the turtles.
So he let his son out. I never realized. I kind of put this, connected this as a kid.
With Danny and how?
I never really, I connected the fact that, like, Danny sees him here, and that was all that mattered. I never thought of the fact that the police cop blackmailed him to get his son out of jail to tell her to back off him investigating the Foot Clan.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah, like, that's what happened right there. I never really realized
the connective thread. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Because he didn't do that to be like, hey, let me help you. He did that to be like, oh, you want your son out of jail?
So this is actually New York.
Yeah, just get out the car and run the subway, Dad. Bye.
Here we go.
Yeah, because that's look at this kid smoking a cigar.
All the tough
shit. Smoking? What had that haircut, smoking? Man. Was he really smoking?
It was a stogie.
Dude, doesn't that look like the best?
Because it's MC Hammer.
Playing roulette?
Yeah.
Dude, this was designed so cool. Like, come
on. I said every hangout.
Sam Rockwell.
Double Dragon.
Sam Rockwell. What?
Is it
kidding me?
Look, that just is look. Not Sam. Don't even look it up. Just look at it. Bam.
It's that or Skeet Ulrich.
That's Sam.
Yeah, I was like, I buy Skeet Ulrich.
Fuck you, dude.
Is it really Sam Rockwell?
Yeah.
No fucking way, dude.
That's sick, doc.
A young Sam Rockwell. He's one of the recruiters for the Foot.
Fuck yeah. That's
in
crazy.
1990s.
Go Ninja Turtles. Play. Said,
don't fucking play your Chuck E. Cheese shit near me.
Look at that hat, too. You saw his hat. He didn't like it.
Oh, they're really tough kids.
I love how this dude's kicking ass, and he's like, oh, yeah? He's like, let me bow to you. He's like, yeah.
Yeah, he like takes it out on this dude.
Pull a knife on him.
Yeah. Because he wants him to feel, hey, I could take your life.
I love how when the bell rings, everyone stops.
Yeah.
Oh, this is a badass entrance right here. So from this part on, this is almost like the Undertaker being being introduced. Because then this happens. This is a badass entrance.
This is mimicked in The Last Jedi.
I was going to say, dude, how many years of Turtles have we had in movies, action movies, superhero movies that we've had? Nothing's come close to like this feeling and this kind of walk up. But that's
look at that cool shot.
Camera shot. Starting from upside down to pulling to this.
That's how you introduce a villain.
With one shot.
And we know who this motherfucker is.
Perfect sparkle.
Yeah, perfect lighting.
It's a good look.
Turn around. All one shot.
And they went very to the source, making him a Japanese man.
Yeah.
Yes.
There's all the recruits, and then there's the Foot right there. So it's almost like joining a fraternity, right? Everybody's pledging. Then they got to reveal the blades.
Yeah, because you're like, oh, where are his blades? These blades.
And they look practical, and they look real, and they look like they would actually fuck you up if you weren't careful.
I love how, like, he reveals his blades. That's all he did. It's just
yeah. Dude, I would be so terrified to say anything. Are you kidding me? This almost looks like the same news channel from Batman. Look how close Michelangelo is sitting to the TV.
I know.
The Foot sounds like a funky club for podiatrists.
Corny-ass news anchor line.
And he's pissy because the chief didn't want to do that. You know, Chief Stern's office. Calls immediately.
Look at him.
Look at him blushing.
That's a movie
Felton's
at the core.
Lines are so, and like his delivery is great in this.
They're literally like brothers. Like, okay, it's going down. Let's go
fight. Fight. Kitchen. Pork rinds.
pork rinds.
Speaking of, where are them chips at, baby?
Damn!
And then from across the roof,
Ryan Tochi.
There he is.
Casey Jones is drinking a Gatorade because you vigilantes don't...
I gotta hydrate, bro.
Don't do anything but...
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they beat Raph pretty good here, don't they? They don't even show it, you know?
They kind of do.
Ninja kicked the damn rabbit.
Damn, they just tossed his size. Yeah. But he's fighting back. He's
throwing it down.
Obviously.
He's going to bring the fight on to them.
The abridged Book of Ninja Fighting. Well, the fact that he's able to move in these suits like that is awesome, you know?
Oh, these guys are genuine acrobatics, dude, and martial arts guys.
He'll be dropping in any minute now.
Literally getting dragged. Is he dead?
He's not mankind, man. You can't throw him off through
big
building.
Fight scene incoming. Here we go.
Great.
Face off.
Parts of the scene was banned in
that's what I heard. Is that true? Because you can't have nunchucks in the UK. So yeah. This was never shown in Europe.
Yeah, this was never shown in the UK, this scene. Because they didn't want kids to see how fun nunchucks were.
And they weren't called Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles in the UK. They were called
Teenage Turtles.
Yeah.
Yeah, they move really well, don't they?
Oh yeah, dude. Those guys can flip. They can turn. They were able to make those costumes work.
When there's real stunt work here, this isn't a CG fest of them throwing dudes through windows, and they're not openly murdering these people. In CG movies, dudes openly get murdered.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Well,
you have to have fodder.
You just don't see it. They're like, oh, Spider-Man throws like people off buildings and shit.
You're right. You don't see the aftermath.
Yeah. I mean, he's spinning on the ground with nunchucks. How serious do we...
And over there.
This movie, I'm good. It ain't going to take itself. Thank you. I'll grab a couple.
You leave it right there, Trev. I'm good on it.
Okay. Easily, the bow is the least used weapon here.
Well, the bow is helping him out big time. That's why I love how each fucking weapon.
The bow is the best in the video game.
Uh-oh. The turtles
fished
are in for a fight.
He's dead on the ground.
Yeah.
Raph's not moving. Well, they make it real lighthearted here and kind of slapstick because then the dark shit's about to happen kind of after this. You know? Oh, I love how he just electrocuted himself. That was the first death of a foot soldier.
That guy's definitely
the first. That's the first fried fool.
He's toasty.
Yeah, that was our first, like, true kill.
Yeah,
like,
he's murdered.
I think this Casey Jones is such a badass because in the time.
They crushed it in this one.
Look at just long hair.
I don't see the guy with the axe. Do we see it? Is this canon? Like, the guy with the axe is not. Seen since.
No, he's fucking
dead.
Dude
in the background, like, doesn't know what to do. Why is he fighting his friend? Like, they're just like, there's three dudes in the background.
Yeah, they're just moving around. They're making motion.
Look at him. He's still there. Like,
Casey's holding him back.
You're fired, April.
Literally.
Yeah, man. Jean jacket, cut off sleeves, long hair, like freaking the Crow or Sting, and you were a badass in the 90s.
Yeah, cut off jean jackets, no sleeves.
Long hair, bro. You were
bad
cool.
Boy vibes.
You were somebody you didn't fuck with, man.
The Foot Clan won that fight.
Yeah.
Dude, they just burned down a building.
They won that fight.
They did.
The Turtles lost that fight.
And Danny feels bad that he told the Foot Clan where they were so he could burn down April's house.
Oh, shit. Look at the way he's walking. He's pissed. Oh,
that's not it.
Struck a puppet.
Damn, he's like, don't hit me. Even though the Foot won that fight, Shredder's not happy, dude. Dude, he got splintered good.
He's bleeding. He's like, I'm just going to go and beat up all these recruits.
Yeah, beat up the guys that came back.
They're like, hey, man, we fought hard. What's the matter?
Damn, dude, power back.
Beat the shit out of everyone.
Dude, he gone. Look at him. He's like, oh, shit, dude. Fight Club. You ever have cashew on a pizza? Dude, it's good. Like cashew halves and they bake it on the pizza. It's fucking great, dude. It's a pairing you don't think would go well, but it... Oh, shit, the farmhouse.
Splinter.
So we go to April's old house in rural New York.
So the turtles are kind of bad luck.
Right.
Their home got ransacked. April's home got burned down.
They're fresh, man. They're legit teenagers. They're starting out learning from their mistakes.
Brodzilla.
I got Mikey's head to look up.
They just left it this one shot on those two actors, by the way.
Yeah.
They let those two actors have that scene. They weren't, like, cutting into a bunch of other things. Those are badass drawings. Dome head.
Elf lips. Elf lips.
Got him there.
He called him an elf.
You would have called me Dome Head. I'm going to call you Elf Lips. I think they were also going down the alphabet.
Yeah.
They were playing the improv game of using the next letter in the alphabet.
I just remember he wakes up in the bathtub because he's a turtle. He needs water.
Leo being a good leader.
Casey Jones, a 9-year-old trapped in a man's body.
This is a good scene here, too.
This is a masterclass on how to eat an apple. Notice how there's more food that keeps appearing in his mouth. He just keeps chewing food.
It's a nice little scene.
I mean,
yeah.
You got to build on the obvious tension between those two.
I feel like they had to do the voices to this after it's shot, right?
I think so.
I mean, they're doing the same lines, but that's got to be difficult because they're reading the lines in the scene one way, and that's what we almost saw some eyes there. You know what I mean?
No, I'm pretty sure like there must have been some on set because they wouldn't have a lot of time.
So you'd have to match the timing to how you did it on set.
So I feel like they would have them on set to like run. I want to say
would,
they have
them. They would have to have them on set. And then when you would go record it in the studio, you'd be recording it to this and you'd have your own scratch tracks. You'd know what it was supposed to be. It's because some of them you could tell are a little off. You know what I mean? You could be like, maybe they delivered the line a little bit better in the VO session than they would have, you know, than they did it live.
So the technology that they created for it was to put your hand in a glove and then also use a microphone at the same time while you're moving that glove, and you're on the set at the same time, like you're doing it in real time on set with your performance. But I don't think they did that until the second one.
They definitely looked different in the second one.
They had a different technology for it.
This one was more movie magic that made it happen, you know.
Trevor, the one time that we did go see that improv show at Henson Lot, we didn't go in the lobby, and I should have took you in the lobby. They have a couple of these heads in the lobby broken down into pieces, like how they're made and shit like that, the servos and everything.
Well, I have to take the moment, speaking of the Henson Company and the greatness of them, and we love the Ninja Turtles, obviously. That's what has really summoned us here.
They brought them to life. Look at them using freaking
Speaking of videos. Another great scene between these two.
He's using a katana to cut carrots.
The Henson Company is also responsible for one of my favorite things ever made in Farscape.
They have a lot of Farscape stuff in that lobby, too.
I know. Josh, have you ever heard of that show?
Farscape? Yeah. Damn, Casey, this is like just straight titty shot, like
a little Showtime,
no bra,
a little Cinemax.
Hey man, have you ever tried mojito? Is this sativa? Have you ever tried it before?
No.
Take a look at this real quick. Does that taste like mojito?
Oh yeah, it does.
Have you ever had lime slushy?
Dude, no. What is
that's an indica. Does that taste like a lime slushy?
Oh bro, yeah, it definitely does. I feel like I just grabbed this from 7-Eleven.
What if we mix those together? Like
great
cool
flavors.
Kids we are.
What?
We can mix that.
No.
That's right. You just gotta hit this one button. Do that. Tap. Double tap. One, two. Boom. Party's getting started. We'll try this and tell me what you think.
Oh dude, the double tap.
If you want to change up your game and get things to the next level, a double tap is where it's at. Try the boutique switch.
I love how Mikey comes in.
They're all trying to cock block
the turtle wax, but he's like, oh, I need a massage too. Like, that's what he jerks off with.
Exactly.
I think that's what he makes, man. That's what we make.
He makes
we
turtle wax that comes out of him.
We produce it.
Look, they got veins on his arms and stuff. It was so good.
Yeah, Josh, you're right. The Splinter was the three guy set up with Kevin three running the mouth and then a guy doing the eyes with the controller and then someone else doing it like a Swedish chef with the arms. It's a perfect easy setup.
S'mores are the best.
Yeah, it's dope, like legit brothers. Like those two are always like goofing around. He's just not about it.
I like that they have the colors, but they don't have the letters. I like that they didn't fully go towards the...
With the L on their belts and stuff. Because it was too gritty for that. It was based in realism. Like even this supernatural scene is still very based around fire, meditation. You know what I mean? It's not out of the realm of believability.
Especially with ninjas. Because there's so many movies about ninjas.
Yeah, they're leaning heavily on the ninja lore here.
And this isn't this a part of ninja lore?
And apparently elves exist in this universe too, because he said he had elf lips.
When they're meditating, getting into tranquility, I feel like that's a big ninja thing, because it's in a lot of other
Jose Canseco exists?
Ninja movies.
Yes, you're right. There's a mysticism is very much, I think, attached.
If this was made in 1990, the reason they probably said Jose Canseco is because the A's won the World Series.
Jose Canseco was huge.
Yeah.
He was like one of the most famous baseball
players. Him and McGuire. Meanwhile, the Ninja Turtles are crying after the blue fire revealed to them their father, Master Splinter.
Well, it's a little
was
jarring.
Being tied up and beaten by his ancient ninja master.
This was literally a coming of age moment for them, you know.
It was for them to get out that emotion so they can get the emotion.
So now the house is on a lake? Did you notice that?
Yeah.
I thought it was like in the middle of a forest. We saw the huge lake.
There was mist.
Was that mist?
It was mist.
No, I think it was the lake.
It was covering up the lake. Couldn't see it.
There's a lake there, Michael. Do you think they fucked?
Oh, definitely.
Do you think they fucked that right there that night?
On the porch?
Yeah.
Not right there, but that night.
Night for sure. Those guys cried all night and got their emotions out, so they're ready to fight.
Maybe they didn't fuck, but
they got their angry emotions out.
See, finger banged her. Finger popped her.
What?
He finger popped her.
He finger popped her? He finger busted her?
While he was still eating the apple?
Yeah.
On the broken
swing. It was fixed as they were sitting in it again.
He's cool, bro. He could do however he wants.
He could fix an old Volkswagen van with a wrench.
Oh, he's good with his hands.
He's no hose brain.
That's right. He hates the sewer.
Oh, does he hate the sewer? Yeah. People who live in the sewer.
I would make the same jokes.
Poor Casey.
You guys know it smells like shit down there.
Who's in here? That's right. Fucking Danny's in here.
Danny's little punk
fucking
ass.
Danny wearing that same shirt. shirt.
Because he's cool.
It would be a good place to run to, though, if you thought about, like, evading them.
I never liked him. He was never redeemed to me.
Mm-mm. Danny's an asshole. Well, he does kind of redeem himself.
Not in Josh's eyes or my eyes, I agree.
You want a fist in the mouth? He thinks he called him a homophobe.
Wait, what? How did he think claustrophobic mean that he was gay? Like, that's so bizarre. And Donatella wants to know, too. Like, huh?
He said, I've never even looked at another man.
Yeah.
I've never even looked
there
at another
man. There was that in the casual Sony joke earlier. It was like, what am I behind? Am I famous as Sony? When a bunch of fucking ninjas show up? Like, come on.
Why would you think
this? Fuck, that? Dude. 1990 joke. Like, I never realized that because the pizza had mold on it. I thought he meant there was literal penicillin on the pizza.
Yeah.
He tries to get comfy in the truck now.
That's right. And he's like, what the fuck am I doing in here? Let's sleep in a truck.
I've been there, though.
Dude, this is, yeah, the middle of summer and your AC's not working and your fan's hot, not working.
And it's
trying to get comfortable.
Too.
I've slept in some parking lots.
This is a nightmare, bro. Roll down the window and try and get comfortable.
Your neck will just killing you, you know?
I'm not sleeping in any car.
Dude, I'll just take my, at that point, I'll take my pants off and use them as a pillow. I don't care, bro.
I'm thinking I'm small enough that I can sleep in cars like that.
Bro, no, take your shirt off. That's not enough. You need like pants. You need like thick fabric. So now Danny's having dreams about Shredder?
Of course.
That's guilt. Telling him to subliminally turn on the turtles again.
He can't settle. Yeah, I know. He's a real snake.
You fucking piece of shit, Danny.
That's what I said.
God.
He's a punk.
But you know what? That's why Casey's up. He ain't no
Casey's
fool.
He's a bit of a night owl.
Casey saves the day right here.
He took the night of sleeping like crap.
He's like, oh, nah, this kid isn't going home to see his dad. I have a feeling that this kid's going to go back to the secret base, which is deserted, by the way, right? Because after Tatsu beat up the recruit.
I think they're still very much there, though. I think this is like their HQ. That's the only reason I think Danny feels also safe to go there. It's like strength in numbers.
Yeah. Casey's accepted like he's just one of everybody.
They're kind of like 7-Eleven. They're not always doing business, but they're always open.
He feels guilt. He's going to go talk to Splinter.
He's trying to redeem himself.
Not tell the turtles where Splinter is.
Yeah, Danny's having a crisis, right?
Who's on Danny's shirt now?
Is that what's his face from?
Lenny Kravitz? It looks like him.
It's the Harry Styles of the late 80s.
Mimicking his movements from Mike
Cage. The dude from Sex Pistols? Was that Sid Vicious already?
So we're still getting origin story this deep in the movie, too.
Because we haven't figured out who Shredder is. Like, why is...
Right.
As a kid, you know, because you know in the movies
you know who
that Rokusaki Shredder
was.
Is. Or from the cartoon.
Right.
Rokusaki is the...
Yeah, they're basically playing the Shredder connection
turtles.
As a mystery.
Tang Shin.
Write this down.
All these old flashbacks are shot in a black box theater. So easy.
So Splinter was never touched by the ooze, but he's already like a supernatural being, right? Like
he's just kind of like
he's
an
just
advanced.
Smart, yeah.
He's like an advanced rat.
And he cut off his ear. So the ooze never touched Splinter. He's the true.
I think it did, though.
Because of the turtles.
Yes.
But they never explain how this rat ends up from Japan to New York City.
Through the tunnels, bro.
Let's do it, baby.
Sewers go everywhere.
Yeah.
Wow. I never knew you could undress someone in seconds.
That was very cartoon, like, costume change.
Of course. The second he took his bandana off, Shredder was there to be like, yeah, what the fuck you doing?
Shredder's like, I heard it hit the ground. Dude, I'd be pissing myself.
I'm saying, that's a crazy feeling to know somebody's lying.
He just knew he had this in his pocket.
Yeah, that's just how badass he is.
They're back. So now he finally says something.
They're gonna kill Splinter.
He had to get caught. So this is the rematch.
Here we go.
Right?
We know what we're doing now, boys.
Because they got beat up in the antique shop. This is the rematch.
Gosh, I do hope there's more of them.
Dude, look at Donnie.
That's great. You're a natural, sis.
He's funny here. Oh,
sold that like a champ.
He's pissed.
Yeah.
It's going to cost you Tinkerbell. Oh,
Casey needs a weapon. He is not a hand-to-hand guy. He needs a weapon bad.
Dude, he's getting dominated. There's Sam Rockwell.
Insane.
He gone. He criticaled him. That was a natural 20 right there.
Here we go.
Classic shot of the Ninja Turtle.
Not going upside down and shooting turbo jets and riding the ceilings of the sewers, you know?
Yeah.
I wonder if this is a real sewer they built this to. They had to have built it. It's probably a set. Yeah, it's got to be set.
You want to be next?
To the Shredder. Tell us more, Sam. We have a loyalty. That was a real thick loyalty to the Shredder.
To the Shredder.
This rat's my family.
Yeah, they're climbing the building, just like a level in a video.
Yeah, we're climbing to the climax. That's what we're doing.
to get to the boss.
Yeah. Yep.
Man,
is this where you see the eyeballs? Yeah, that was where you see the eyeballs right there.
Yeah. Was it the eyeball scene?
That was one of them. And he's like, God, I love being a turtle. He's screaming right, looking right into the...
For like a half a second.
When he goes turtle. Yeah, you have to pause it.
You have to really pause it.
There's one scene where it's like blatantly obvious. I don't remember which one it is. Yeah.
And this goes from being like a laughable fight to they're about to get
to very serious. Yeah.
Yeah.
The way it shifts is great.
Because they're confident, bro.
Even the Ninja Turtles start joking about him. Like, who's this fucking guy?
We call him a can opener.
He technically would have cut his legs open there with his katana.
Yes,
so
he would have.
It was a fatal blow served by Leonardo.
And he just drops down from the ceiling.
What a shot.
He came down from the sky.
I know, he came from the sky in his purple shiny
he
suit.
He entered the
like...
frame from above, dude. That's fucking badass, dude.
Badass.
Raph, I got him.
He's just got a pole.
See ya. Disarmed him.
Stood still, dude, until he came at him.
He says, let me just dive at him.
Right.
Damn.
That was great. Where there's the trash compactor.
Yep.
It's important.
The final stage is being set.
Who gonna stop me now? I'm on the road. Let me know. Who gonna stop me now? Who gonna stop me now? Who gonna stop me now? I'm on the road. Let me know. Who gonna stop me now? Gang, gang. When the game on the line, you can't throw it and you can't bend. Y'all be playing it safe and not be going for the win. Remember back when they was doubting on the kid. Now they tuned in cause my game too legit. When the game on the line, you can't throw it and you can't bend. Y'all be playing it safe and not be going for the win. Remember back when they was doubting on the kid. Now they tuned in cause my game too legit.
Look at him. He's just didn't break a sweat yet. Now it's on. Now they're taking him serious. And it's 4-on-1 at the same time. And Shredder's still kicking their ass.
This is where the choreography gets good. Takes down one dude.
Shredder's fighting all defensively. Leftovers.
I love that part.
Yeah.
It's a talent. See, he's using his swords on Shredder now. Got him.
Ooh, cut him.
Sliced him. Push a button.
Do I?
Do I?
Took all that energy. Used it against him.
This is so ridiculous.
That is this.
This puppet shows up being hoisted. They're like, let's not show his legs again. That was really.
It's him.
Yeah, it is. Oroku Saki's ass.
That guitar riff. Cool shot.
Cool shot.
Fucking flipped his ass.
That's badass.
Splinter didn't kill him. He just saved himself and he died by saving himself. Yeah. And here's Casey Jones trying to commit a murder.
Yeah, Casey Jones actually kills him, right?
Well, the theory is he escapes before now. He escapes out. You're injured, but escapes.
But in the second one, he literally comes up out of the trash.
Does he?
Yes. Yeah, so maybe he got injured.
Oh, yeah, his hand comes up, right?
Yeah.
Well, look, maybe he's... Look, there's people in the background. Maybe he's laying there, and they smuggled him off, and then they throw him in the trash after he smashed
it. They threw him in the trash, Daddy?
My God, Danny? Oh, my God, my son.
Daddy, now I care about you. Yeah, Danny doesn't really do much, does he, I guess, to redeem himself. I mean, other than this right here. He gives her some money.
It's something I... Trust me, this $20 is going to make a difference. Danny? Are you okay, Danny?
It's just Dan.
It's just Dan.
He got more boring.
Wow, Dan.
You know how I know he's a bitch? I did that in 7th grade. I'm a real man.
Just,
I did that
no,
in 7th
just
grade.
Dan.
This bitch is doing that when he's 15.
I said in 5th grade, one day I decided my name was going to be Josh. It was going to be DJ Donnie John. And I got everyone at school to call me that. And I came home and I said, Mom, everyone's calling me DJ because that's my new name, Donnie John. She's like, no, they're calling you Dumb Josh. That's what the DJ stands for. And I was like...
Damn.
Mom
came with hitters, bro. She came with like
she wouldn't pull her punches sometimes, huh?
My mom came with lines that you'll remember for life.
Here we go. No, but maybe a blowy. Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Whoop, there it is.
And then the movie ends.
It does. It's just kind of like it's over.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It ends with, that's right. I forgot about this is a legendary.
That was a great use of it.
Yeah. I made the funny.
They didn't overuse it.
No.
They used one cowabunga.
They used one cowabunga.
They used
it was
at the perfect
the very end.
It was a gift from Splinter.
Dude.
All police and detectives are furious.
Round of a fucking applause to this movie. A 90-minute movie.
Those are the four turtles.
Those are the guys in the suits.
Michelle and Sisti, Leif Tilden, David Foreman.
Yeah. Turtle power.
Damn right. Second unit director, Brian Henson.
Brian Henson, baby.
There it is.
Well, what an honor that was. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. April O'Neil, Judith Ho, Casey Jones, Elias Codius. Raphael, Josh Bay, Michelangelo, McLean, Leif Tilden for Donatello, David Foreman for Leonardo, Danny Pennington.
And then look, you'll notice the other guys are on there too. Again, the foot messengers.
Yeah. Pizza Man, yeah, there's all the guys.
Yeah, and then the voices, see?
Tall Teen, Beaten Teen is a role in this.
Corey Feldman as Donatello.
Robbie Riss.
David McCharron.
Robbie
Tatsu had a different voice. That was not his voice I saw there.
His voice. Oh,
interesting.
No.
Splinter, three people played.
Kevin Clash, baby.
And then in the second one, Kevin, what's his name, the wrestler?
Kevin Nash is Kevin Super Nash Shredder in the sequel.
Is the Super Shredder. Shredder.
Yeah. Well, what a fun episode this has been, gents.
Dude, I mean, suddenly the whole movie has gone by. Dude, thank you for
thanks for being here. I hope you enjoyed the watch along. Thank you, Danny.
High as fuck for this.
Let's go.
It's been amazing. Yeah.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Heroes in a Half Shell, Turtle Power.
I realize I will never forget this movie.
Yeah.
I will never be able to forget this Ninja Turtles movie. Even if I decided to somehow torture myself and say, I can't watch this movie again for 35 years, I would still remember that movie because it's part of my fucking DNA, dude. And we talked about this off recording. I know it sounds dorky and sappy or whatever, and I'm high, but it's the truth, man. That movie is like part of my being.
My childhood,
I know that movie like I know myself. But it's pretty monumental in like the timeline of the Ninja Turtles, if you think of them as like a property too. You know, not just in movies or whatever was happening at the time. It's the 90s now suddenly. And this movie comes out that looked fucking beautiful. And I'm sure the Boutique Switch had something to do with the way I was taking in this movie and digesting it, but there were definitely parts of the movie where the music hit me for like the first time.
Yeah.
I noticed music in parts that I never noticed music before. If I'm still getting something new out of it after this many viewings, 35 years later, like how fucking cool is that?
Word. I'm a big audio nerd. Like to be in that theater and from the beginning, like I said, the beginning was great because I was able to hear all the things that I was not used to experiencing in a theater. Like something as simple as after Casey and Raphael have that fight in the Central Park, and it's just him running, like both of them running after each other.
The sound of it. Yeah.
I could tell that fucking concrete is wet, dude. Like they're both.
It's real.
They were
filming on location.
Like they were filming on a location. You could hear both of them booking it after each other. You hear homeboy roll over the goddamn taxi.
It's a real stunt over the hood of a real taxi cab. Was it made for the thing?
It's quiet out there. Yeah. It's a quiet New York night street. Yeah. It's raw. It was gritty.
It's on my top 10 list of favorite movies, and it's a movie I would say to anybody that likes movies that you need to watch. If you like movies, you need to watch this movie for at least the fact that it's as practical as it gets.
Yeah.
To your point of like sounds and everything, like really the whole like charm
and dialogue
of this movie is that, it's tackling a very make-believe scenario, but it is making it,
very
it is executing
relievable.
It in the most practical way possible. It's that practical that, you can even spot the seams. I'll admit that.
Yeah.
I had never noticed all of the seams on their necks the way I have until I watched it
tonight. Until you saw it tonight.
They all have they're kind of a noticeable line where the head ends and the rest of the body connects.
Oh, yeah.
You would think,
easier.
Should it be more covered up? But if they just tilt their head up, like they're looking up, you can't not notice it.
Yeah. Well, at the same time, which was crazy, is they also needed to have the chance to be able to I need to take this thing off right now. And then it would literally just slip.
That isn't a critique.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying this is horribly done.
It's cool.
But that's part of the movie going
experience. Part of the charm.
That's part of the experience that you could only get at the movies of seeing that. And so even with all that, the practicality of that movie is insane. That was another thing I noticed. It's shot really fun. This is like a well-made fucking movie.
Yeah.
There's no spots that lag. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it's well-crafted. It's like an hour and a half long. It's kind of like perfect movie length. And it's funny. It's still got kind of crispy, quick dialogue.
It
doesn't feel like... It feels like they are trying to actually tell a story in a sincere way. And it just so happens to be centered around the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. It has a very clear middle, beginning, middle, and end in a story sense, right? Like if you think of just in the way that the Ninja Turtles interact with the foot, right? They have their first encounter where they kind of laugh it off. They embarrass the foot.
Yeah.
The second encounter, they get their ass kicked.
Yeah.
The third encounter, they learn from their ass kick and they come back as the best form of themselves, right?
Yeah.
That's like a classic three act.
And then once they're filling themselves, then comes the final boss, and
then
that's Shredder.
The boss goes, you guys think you're good? I could beat you all all one-on-one.
I think I was saying there was the guy that was doing the skateboard bit that in one shot, you could see his hand. Like, he's not wearing a turtle hand. It's just a regular hand, but he's wearing the lower half of the turtle.
Yeah.
And because they were only supposed to film the lower half of the turtle and his real bare
got
hand.
Into frame or something.
His bare hand gets into shot when he's skateboarding.
Yeah, and so now you're like, seeing some actual literal movie magic make the final cut. So it's right on that line of movie magic and real life and make-believe and everything. You know, for my money, too, it has some extremely faithful representations to these characters. The April O'Neil in this movie, Judith Hogue, whose name I do know. Shout out to Judith Hogue. She's fucking great, man.
Yeah.
She's really good as April and kind of fits the more sort of classic look of her. But of any of the casting choices, with all due respect, I think no other thing has ever done Casey Jones as good as
the 1990
Ninja Turtles movie.
Absolutely.
Elias Koteas. Shout out to Elias Koteas.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's phenomenal.
He captures Casey Jones better than anything else that I've ever seen.
The director was Steve Barron of this original.
There we go. Shout out to Steve Barron. If we're going to talk about the practicality of it, I think we have to single out and give flowers to the Jim Henson Company.
Oh, absolutely.
And then the more you start looking at the history of things done on TV and movies, the more you start realizing Jim Henson Company has had a hand in this, had a hand in that. There might not be a better track record on some level in terms of filmed entertainment than what Jim Henson has been able to do. They're basically the best. They played a major hand in this movie. So the movie is great, is legendary for a lot of
major hands,
but one of the main ones is that practicality you're talking about.
Yeah.
35 years ago, this movie is old.
Old.
And this technology that they were instituting at the time was cutting edge. It was like breakthrough.
Yeah.
But you go back and look at it now and you go, it's still holds up. I got to mention the Shredder.
Yeah, of course.
The Shredder is scary in this movie,
mm-hmm.
and he kicks ass.
Yeah,
period.
He's believable.
And there's and I actually love the fact, you want to talk about getting specific with things, that he is Japanese.
Yeah,
the Shredder in this movie rules.
Oh, absolutely.
And gets kind of the perfect amount of screen time. They don't overdo it.
No, have him too much.
And he just a right amount of time. Just when you're kind of wondering, hey, what's the Shredder up to? I haven't seen him in a hot minute. He pops back up in the movie just to remind you he's there. So he has this all time intro.
Yeah.
It's a very classic setting on top of a roof. The Ninja Turtles are at their cockiest. It's peak Ninja Turtle formula.
Uh-huh.
And then there's an epic confrontation that brings it full circle realization for the characters in terms of Splinter showing up. I mean, I'm just nerding out over here. If you don't know this movie, you got to see this movie, dude.
Yeah. It's a great experience.
I love this movie.
Me too.
Long live the Ninja Turtles. Cowabunga fucking bunga indeed.
Cowabunga, baby.
Last time on First Time. Did you know that the Ninja Turtles and Batman had a crossover? It's amazing. Batman's the best. The Turtles are the best. Them together just makes sense. But you know what crossover Shane doesn't really want right now? It's Batman and the six random thugs. The Batmobile's onboard cameras cut a kind of embarrassing moment the last time that Batman ran across the six random assortment of thugs that you can find at your local grocery store. See, that's just how new the train is to all of this. So it really makes you wonder, how's he going to handle it when he comes face to face with not six random thugs, you know? Like someone else, let's say Harley Quinn. And now.
What you might be wondering is, you have Mark Hamill, right? You have Kevin Conroy. Do you have Arlene Sorkin? Arlene Sorkin, shout out to her, is the original voice of Harley Quinn. And to my understanding, to my knowledge, this is not her. This is not the OG Harley. This is, I think, Tara Strong, who has kind of famously done a lot of Harley stuff. And, of course, a ton of other things, but is kind of the Harley of the newer generation. But if we're going to acknowledge these OGs and these goats, and we should, then we need to also shout out Arlene Sorkin, because damn, she is a goat, and she unfortunately passed away, is no longer with us. So a shout out to, and rest in peace. Yeah, unfortunately. And you know, now the role gets sort of Margot Robbie's character, but you know, never forget where it started and where it's come and how it's evolved. And I think there's a lot of fun things to like about the more modern Suicide Squad Harley, but for my money, I prefer her in a more traditional role. Doesn't necessarily mean she has to be in the classic look, though it's a super fun look. Why not put her in it? I like the idea of Harley and Joker working together. There you go. You got to use the technical. Okay, well, you find a trophy, but you need to find a weakness in the exterior of the medical facility. So you're basically looking for another way in. We already realized, we already learned, we know how to break weak structures. We just got to find this weak spot in the building. Oh, boom, there it is. There you go, boom. L2, R2 to spray, and then R1 to detonate. So yeah, the game's still getting you used to this, right? Like, you can climb over certain things. You can crouch certain areas that you have to duck through. You obviously, you're going to have to do this a lot. You're going to have to tear grates off the wall a lot. So you turn back towards that grate. Mash X. These are things you just do in this game. That's going to become monotonous. If every time we get together for these first times, 5 months goes in between, then, you know, it's going to always be a steep learning curve coming back. Oh, another Riddler trophy found. And the cool thing about finding those and solving these riddles across along the way is it gives you experience points. So the quicker you can level up, and you certainly can quickly in this game, if you start doing all those things, then you'll get to those upgrades, etc. As this game goes along, much like in Jedi Survivor, you get more powerful. I mean, think of Batman as a Jedi in a way, right? Like, okay, here you go. This might be a motherfucker. Okay, Shane? We've seen how well you do against random thugs in a fist fight. This is different. There's basically two main types of encounters in the Batman game. There's fights, and there's what I call predator challenges. Don't just start hitting buttons, by the way. You need to figure out where you are. So all these guys have guns, and they will kill you in seconds if you get sloppy and expose yourself and try to just punch people and make noise. So, okay, that will drop you down, and you can be seen from there. So if you hit circle, he'll climb back up to the top of the gargoyle. If you had hit X, he would have dropped down. So if I were you, I would stay up here for a while until you get a good view of the land. And so there's five dudes. You can obviously decide to take them out however you want. Oh my God. There you go. There it is. There's the inverted takedown. He just got the upgrade. Now, what you'll realize, though, he just made noise. So there you go. Exactly. I would not stick around. That guy is hanging there. He's not dead, but see, there you go. See what's happening? These guys are running over to it. They're going to go check it out. So this is a way for you to start learning the tactics of the game. If you do that, they're going to come running, right? If you make noise, the bad guys come up, but not all of them. So there's three of them went to look. There's still one little straggler over there. Oh, buddy, he's not right under you. Yeah, he's not right under you yet, but he might be. He's almost there. Oh my God, now you can get him. See, this inverted takedown is so good to have early on when you're learning this game, because now you're getting takedowns for free. But there you go, you're going to want to move again. But he grapples over. When there was five guys, now there's fucking three guys, okay? Oh, he's going for it. He does a glide kick. Now, you got to be able to hit. No, okay, you get out of there. Get out of there. Get out of there. Get out of there. You hung around too long. Get out of there. Or keep going to gargoyles. Keep going around until they lose you. You're going to have to keep going around. Keep going until they're not shooting you. Keep going. I like where your head's at, but you didn't know the combination. That's actually a good takedown. I was trying to tell you, but it happened too fast. Before you do anything else, if you're going to try it again, know this. If you stun a guy like that and you kick him and he's laying on the ground with stars on his head, he's going to go into the other one. Get to the other one. You don't have to do that to do it, by the way. You can do an inverted takedown from right there. You can just, there you go. You can just look straight down. Yeah, that hanging down shit is kind of useless, actually. And that's what you'll realize is also fun about these is Joker talk shit throughout all these things. And you know, it's the idea that he can see what's happening, but he obviously can't. He can't quite see where you are, though. Or yeah, maybe he doesn't want to say anything. Maybe it's too fun for him and he's like, ah, ha, ha. But what I was going to say is, if you glide kick a dude like that, or if you were to throw a batarang at one of these guys and it knocked him down and he was stunned, if you are on top of the guy and you hit R2 and triangle, he does a ground attack, which will immediately knock out anybody that's stunned. You don't have to force it. If I were you, I would wait until you had one guy left and practice it on one guy. Okay, that's three guys if my math is mathing. And what you'll notice is there's two guys, but if you kind of zoom in on them or whatever, it'll kind of show you their heartbeat sometimes. And where they were confident and calm, they're very nervous now and scared, right? So their tactics start to change a little bit. They either split up and roam around, or they'll start shooting at shit that's not even there. Like, you can kind of play upon the AI's, you know, temperament given where they are. Shane's trying to 100% inverted takedown these guys. You can't invert where there's another guy hanging there. You already used that gargoyle, buddy. Okay, he's going for it. Can he do it this time? Now get on top of him. Get on top of him. There you go. Yes. There it is. Boom. And you could there it is. That's how you do that strategy. It's a quick hitter. Boom, glide kick, ground takedown, swoop out of there before they come. And now this dude's late to the party. Oh, he's going to get him again. Now he's getting a little bit more confident. There you go. Ground and pound this dude. Ground and pound him. R2 triangle. There it is. Boom. He's out. You'd have to fight him. You'd have to punch him a bunch of times. And what you realize is R2 triangle is a silent takedown from behind, and R2 triangle is an immediate takedown on a prone enemy. So that's the thing. The Joker is obviously taken over, and he's got his dudes roaming around now. It's not just him running around talking shit on the PA system. he's got his goons everywhere. He's got dudes beating up the Batmobile. He's got dudes working on the building, I guess. He's got dudes with guns. As you can imagine, the further into this game we go, the more serious it gets. And just wait. This isn't a spoiler, but just wait for the complications to come. Because the complications haven't even come yet. This is sort of a regular night in Batman's world. So now that's your new objective. There you go. Boom. Locate and rescue Dr. Young. This is kind of a fight for the soul of Arkham, right? That you're literally fighting for possession of this island. Oh, there you go. You can find these things. You don't necessarily have to listen to it, but and these are tapes, as you can see, patient interview tapes. Every time you find these, it's also experience points. So much like finding Riddler trophies and solving riddles, you get experience for that. It's not a bunch, but, you know, 200. Boom. 200 points for finding that. Anytime you take out these teeth, by the way, you'll, as you'll notice, you get a little bit of points too. Just 50. It's like probably the minimal amount of points you can get. Oh, what's this? You find you're being a little sneaky, little nosy little guy over here poking around. This is what you got to do too sometimes in this game. Oh, there you go. You see, curiosity killed the cat, but it might have been good for the bat. Who knows? So you can go up there or into that little nook. He goes up there, I said, and you realize that kind of connects over here. So that was where you first came in. Boom. Right to detective mode. I like that. Get used to doing that because you never know when you're coming into a room. There could be secrets. Could be people waiting for you. You can see it says telling you there's two hostiles detected. Yeah, there's two dudes over there. Looks like move forward. Don't be a pussy. I'm surprised it's not telling you yet, but hit R. Go to R2. Okay, never mind. We'll figure it out another time. It's just two guys with clubs. So what's Batman going to do? He's going to slap them around for a bit. That's what he's going to do. Oh, this guy's still up. Oh, and he kicked you before you could knock his friend out. So we haven't dropped these guys yet. Okay, this guy's getting up. Boom, now he's out. What I thought it was going to show you is what you can do corner takedowns. Maybe that's a little bit jumping the gun. We don't necessarily need to learn that right now. I think we're getting closer. I think we're getting closer to these doctors, even though it kind of feels like we're not getting closer. But oh, here we go. Here's one of the doctors. He seems like he's just strapped down. Cutscene. Oh, shit. I was going to say this looks like a trap. Not for me. All right, buddy. Don't let these guys beat your ass in front of the Joker and this doctor that is strapped down, because they might. Batman walked into a trap. Three guys jumped down from upstairs, and it's go time. Batman, what can you do? Can you string your hits together? Boom. Can you get past a four-hit combo? Because once you get to about six-hit combos, you really start doing cool shit as Batman. This dude is just waiting to throw something at you, finally does, and then misses after all that time. Batman finally takes a hit. He's actually been dominating these guys. Can't really string his attacks together too well, but you know what he's learning right now? He's learning how to hit, and he's learning how not to get hit. Dude, now, there it is. There it is. Right on cue. He ends the fight with a seven-hit combo. There it is. Whoa, that looked good. There you go. Rescue this doctor, and he does. Two more doctors to rescue. That was the best fight yet, dude. Nice. That was a good fight. You kept dudes off you. You were putting dudes down. Took one hit. I mean, let's be real. Let's call it what it is. You took one hit. Batman ain't gonna lose any fight if he only takes one hit. Oh, what's that? Looks like a present right there, dude. Oh, shit. That wasn't there before, right? Because you're just going back the way you came now. That wasn't there before. What the fuck? Okay, what's going on here? These guys don't know you're there yet. See, corner cover is what I was trying to get you to do, but you don't necessarily have to do right here. You might be able to double take down these guys. Take down. Boom. Boom. Counter. There it is. Yes. Boom. Nice. That's how you do it. So Batman got into this other room, and it looked like the bad guys had the upper hand. It actually looks like Arkham personnel and this guy named Aaron Cash are locked in some sort of room, and it doesn't look good. Joker's talking shit. Batman's locked out of this room, so how else can we get in? Well, we know what Batman does. If you ever feel like you're getting stuck, it probably means you just haven't looked up enough. There's always another way in. That's Batman's fucking thing, right? If he had business cards back in the day, probably would have said that on there. There's always another way in. Batman. Like, what number do I call? You don't. You just hit the signal. So, we've made our way via the vent system, because of course, up in the ducts and the vents. Okay, as you can imagine, that's gas. And it doesn't take a detective or even the world's half greatest detective to tell you that gas gonna kill you. So, you cannot just be exposed to that. Oh, boom. Right out the gates. Wow, nice. Okay. You're not even probably sure why you needed to do that, but you did just take out a dude that was hanging upside down and he fell through a ceiling. So you have a room full of gas. You need to get the gas out of the room. How can you do that, Batman? Can Shane figure out the puzzle? This is basically a puzzle, right? Oh, not the way to go. R1, escape. R1, escape. R1, escape. R1, escape. Don't just die. Don't just fucking sit there and die. He jumped into it. You got to also be running. If you're just standing on the edge and jumping, he's not going to glide. That's more like it. That's probably not where you need to go. We're testing it out. So we don't immediately die getting exposed to the gas, but we just don't want to be in it for too long. So there you go. You got to do detective mode. What's happening here? What are you looking at? Okay. You're looking at giant fans. What can these fans do? Detective mode will let you see these cables, right? These what these things are running to. So, okay. We hit one of the fans. We lowered the gas. The gas is not as high in the room. Now you can get over there. Now he jumps down. Oh, buddy. Batman needs to work on his gliding skills. No, you're not working. You're not working. It's the same thing every time. You got to run. There, you got to hold X. Hit fucking R1, dude. What the oh my God. Now you're doing it just to piss me off. You deserve to die. That was bullshit. This isn't Batman. This is Jean-Paul Valley. This is what you get. Now you got to go back and do it all over again, tough guy. So far, the guys at the Batmobile and the gas have claimed Shane tonight. There it is. There it is. So now what are you looking for? You made it to the jump, but the gas isn't all the way down. Where else can you go? Where else does it look like you can go? Have you looked everywhere? Okay, now he's looking down into that room, right? He's looking down. Okay, there you go. You see the fan there. There it is. Okay. What can we see from where you are here? A lot of gas. The room is still definitely full of gas. Ah, yes, sir. There's the tooth. There's the fan again. So that's the second one, but the gas isn't out of the room, right? Well, a good gas trap has rule of three. So now there's a lot more surface area Batman can glide to, can stand on. Where do we go from here, Batman? He glides to the far corner onto another platform. He's basically right up. There it is. There he found it. Boom. So the guy that fell from above that broke through the roof, that was the secret there. So bam, there it is. Good job. You get into a fight, the guys win sometimes. You fall in the gas, kiss your ass. But we've saved a few people. We didn't just save a doctor. We've saved some personnel. We've saved Aaron Cash, who's basically the head of security, at Arkham Asylum. Kind of makes you wonder why he can still keep his job. But if you're the head of security, maybe it is about job security. What am I even saying? So it looks like we got one more doctor to go rescue before we've accounted for all the hostages, right? That we're aware of. I mean, certain people have been grabbed. Gordon was grabbed. Super close to another upgrade, just like that. So remembering the buttons, remembering how to do it, it's all coming back to him.